chapter 7, when you find that stand, we'll read our text, Deuteronomy 7. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 7. We have a lengthy portion we're going to read. It's one verse. Notice my sarcasm there. But I do want you to pay good attention as we read this one verse, okay? Verse number 1. The Bible says, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou." I had grouped that particular verse in a larger portion and started working on a sermon that would have encompassed 1 through 6. And as I was working on it and just expanding on verse number 1, dividing it and understanding it and explaining it, it started to get longer. I thought, man, I think God has a point for us as a church right here in verse number 1. And so that's what we're going to do. And the title is this: Only God Can Keep You From Sinking. And we'll see that in this verse. Only God can keep you from sinking. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. Help us to have a heart in tune with you. We need to hear from you. And Lord, it's not a man we need to hear from. We don't need to hear the opinions of people. We just need to hear you. And so I pray that you'd set anything that would be a distraction aside, even in our own minds tonight, and guide us to your path. Help us to understand and to make application and to change for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Now, following sometimes can be hard. For example, if you're driving down the road and you're trying to follow someone to a destination, you don't know where you're going, and the one who's driving in front of you and you're trying to follow them and they're driving like a maniac going in and out of traffic, and you're thinking, did you forget that I'm trying to follow you? You know, and so maybe you can relate to that. And so sometimes following can be a challenge. But I will say that sometimes following is not that hard. Sometimes following is just keeping your eyes on the lights that are in front of you when it's a snowstorm and you can't, you know, there is a challenge because of the snowstorm. But if you keep your eyes on those little lights that you can barely see in front of you, and just follow those, unless that guy drives off a cliff, you're okay. You just follow. And so in those times, if you just keep your eyes on the lights, then you'll be fine. When I was a kid, my grandparents would take us to the lake, and we'd have that time with Grandma and Grandpa. They had a house, still have a house there by the lake at Texoma, which is a huge lake that connects Oklahoma and Texas. And so they had a house right by the lake, and so we'd go down, we'd spend time. Grandpa had the boat, and we'd get out in the boat, and he'd take us water skiing. How many of you went water skiing before? Okay, I see a few hands. And if you're good at it, you enjoyed it. If you're bad at it like me, then you're thinking, God, you didn't break your leg. Because, you know, you've turned that ski the wrong way, and then you're just, whoa, that was almost really bad. You know, and I wasn't good at it either because, you know, the boat would just take off. And you see, when you're in the water and you have the skis on, you have your life jacket, and you're holding on to this, you know, this rope with a thing on it. And so you're in the water and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to do this. And then the boat goes and then you're just, and you just fall, just face plant. And if you forget to let go of the rope when that happens, then you're just eating water and it drags you under. And you're thinking, oh yeah, let go. So even with the water skiing, sometimes it can be hard. Getting up on the skis, I never could stand straight up like this. My sister was so good at it. It was frustrating. You know, she's not even athletic. How can you do this? And so she's up and she's like skiing all over. She's jumping over the wakes. I'm thinking, man, how do you do that? And I'm just like this. I'm just trying not to fall off of the thing, you know. So I didn't enjoy it that much. I do remember this, though. When you let go of the rope and you're skiing along the water, it doesn't take too long. And then you just sink down in the water. You're not moving forward because you let go of the rope. I think sometimes our walk with God, I think we need to remember that sometimes our walk with God is like that. So God wants us to move forward, and He wants us to keep a hold of the rope. He wants us to attach ourselves to where he's going. And following him isn't just getting in the wake and just letting go and then all works out. No, no, no. You'll sink. I think sometimes we, in life, we find ourselves sinking more often than we should. We're sinking. And sinking means, for us, it means I'm not happy with my life where it is right now. And it takes on different forms. Like, so when we get angry at people and we're dealing with stuff in life, in relationships with anger, when we don't want to do that. I don't want to be an angry person, we might say, or we get addicted to things. And maybe tonight you're addicted to some stuff and you're thinking, oh, I don't want to be addicted to this. And by the way, it doesn't just have to be some kind of a narcotic or some kind of a emaciating substance, you know, or even an addictive substance like tobacco or something like that. I mean, those things are very addictive, but it could be your cell phone, where you know you need to be getting to bed earlier and you have that cell phone in your hand and you just keep on scrolling. And we get addicted to that. And in our hearts, we know we need to stop and we need to cut it off and we need to be able to say no to this, and we have a hard time with that. And so in those addictions, in those things, we feel like, I want to stop, I want to change, but I'm sinking. Losing interest in the things that we know are more important and gaining interest in things we know are not as important. And it's a common thing that I think sometimes happens, and it shows that we're sinking, even when we don't want to. Becoming an influence in our family, a bad influence, you know, a wrong kind of an influence. And we want our kids to not be angry at each other, but then we are an angry person. Or we want our co-workers to know Jesus, but we can't control our language when we're around our co-workers. And we want our neighbor to hear about God, but we just get embittered because he keeps doing something irritating close to our yard or something. I have a story. This isn't in my notes at all, but when I was a kid, we had dogs, and I'm telling you, in the backyard, you know what happens when you have dogs, right? It is nasty. And it's all over the yard. You have dogs, you know what I'm talking about. And you can't just leave it back there because it piles up and it smells and it gets hot like today, and you go in the backyard, like, I can't even be back here. You know? And so Dad would send us in the backyard with shovels, and he'd say, I want you to bag this stuff up and clean it, you know? Inevitably you're bagging it up and you step on it. So that's not even part of the story. But here's what I did. I don't know how, I was probably 10 or 11 years old. And I'm looking around. We had picket fence. And I'm just like, I'm throwing it in the neighbor's yard. I'm like, man, this is easy. I don't have to put it in the bag. It's never more than 6 feet close to me, you know. Our neighbor, listen, if you're throwing that stuff in your neighbor's backyard, you're not going to be able to win them to Jesus, I don't think. That's not in my notes, but I think it's true, right? So sometimes we want to have an example with our coworkers, with our family, with our spouse, with our neighbor, you know, with our family, with our distant family. We want all of this, but we're sinking because we're not where we should be. We're not attached to Jesus. And because we've let go of the rope, we're starting to sink, and we feel like we can't get out of it. Like, brother, I'll never forget this, and I think I'll keep using it from time to time. When Brother Richard King, who preached several revivals here, he used to say, it's like you get your foot stuck in a lard bucket and can't get it out. We're sinking. You're stuck. Dealing with anxiety. You know, I'll just watch another movie. You know, a lot of people try to deal with their anxiety, their stress, by engaging in a form of entertainment. Why? Because it's called escapism. Have you ever heard that? It's escapism. And you can leave your present reality and escape into another reality. Video games do the same thing. And people deal with the stress or anxiety in their life by that form of escapism. Also, I'll just spend another hour online. Another form of escapism. Some of us don't do any of that. We'll just eat another carton of ice cream. Amen? Or both. You know, if you could nail both of them at the same time. Or all three, watch a movie while you're scrolling on internet, feeding ice cream in your mouth, you know. Whatever it takes. Why? Because I'm sinking. I'm sinking. Israel's not going to enter the land on the merit of their own strength. I'm going to say that again, then I want you to say amen, because it's a good statement. Ready? I know you didn't catch that, so I'm going to give you a chance to say amen. Here it is. Israel is not going to enter into the promised land on the merit of their own strength. They're not going to do it. Nor are you and I going to enter into the promised land of Christian victory and living in the name of God and do it in our own strength. It's not going to happen. So we need to follow. We need to learn to follow. So how do we follow? How God will keep you from sinking if you follow Him? That's what we're going to look at tonight. How God will keep you from sinking if you follow Him. If you're sinking tonight, then you need this. And if you're not sinking and you will face that temptation to let go of the rope and you're going to start sinking, you're going to need this. Number one, God will keep you from sinking if you follow Him. Number one, because He will direct you to the victory. He will direct you. Look at verse 1 again. The first part He says, "And the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it." So He says, God says here that He will bring you. Bring here means to lead or to carry or to cause to come in. Brother McFarland mentioned in his message, remember, great stuff. I encourage you to listen to those messages again. But while he's preaching, he said this. He said, some of us try to devise our own way, but really what we need to do is let God direct our way. Now, what's the difference? Us devising is trying to make plans and figure it out. And then with all of our plan, no matter how good you try to strategize, all we have is what we hope will work out. Whereas if we let God direct our path, then God already knows where it's going to take us. And there's a distinct difference in where we're going to head in life if we let God direct us versus what we try to do by devising our own plan or way. Without God, we're blind. We don't see the future. 2 Peter 1:9, don't turn there, but he said this, "He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. The ways of God are opposite than the ways of this world. The ways of God are opposite, listen, than the ways of our own heart." Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So we need God to direct our lives. Listen, we need God to direct us in the relationships that we get involved with. And we want to get involved with a relationship. We need God to direct us with that. We don't just devise our own plan and way to do that. We need God to direct us. God, do you want me to be involved with this person? God, how do you want me to do this? How do you want me to move forward? Relationships are a big part of who we are as human beings. We were created for a relationship. Relationship with God. We talked about that this morning. God created Adam and Eve. Why? For relationship. We are created relational beings. And so we crave relationships. If you're alone, then you're lonely and you want what? A relationship. But what we need is God to direct us in our relationships. I notice these four boys right here, they're really paying attention. And these two are like, la, la, la. Because relationships are like, forget that. I'm not even listening. I'm never getting married. But there will come a day when things will change and interests will be there, right? And so what you need is don't try to devise your own plans with relationships. Let God direct your path. And if you do that, As you let God direct your path, it's going to lead you somewhere where you're going to be glad. You're going to be glad. Letting God direct us, meaning we follow God and we let Him direct us in our relationships, what we allow in our homes. This is a tough one. But the things that we allow to come into our homes is a strong temptation for us to allow things in that we like or that entertain us. But if we were to let God direct us, then perhaps, listen, there are some things in our homes that need to be moved out of our homes because we've devised our own strategies of the things that we've allowed in our homes where God is not directing us. And we're going to get ourselves in trouble because we're not following God. We need God to direct us. God, what do you want me to allow in my home? Listen, I'm not saying that moms and dads, you can't let your kids have a gaming system. But I think that it would be wise for us to not allow certain games into our home. Well, how do we know which games are okay versus which games aren't okay? How about we go to God and let Him direct us? God, what do you want? What do you, and for some families, maybe it would be good not even to have one, perhaps. The same can be said about TV and other forms of entertainment. What we allow in our homes, God, I need you to direct me. You have to humble yourself to listen. We have to humble ourselves to say that maybe we've been doing this wrong. That's hard to admit, isn't it? It's sort of like, saying I'm sorry. Sometimes it's hard to say I'm sorry because that means you have to admit you did something wrong and we don't want to do that. Sometimes it's tough for us to say, God, I've been devising my own plan and what I need to do in these areas is to stop doing that and to let you direct my path. That's what it means to follow God. To follow God means stop devising and let God direct you. Number two, God will keep you from sinking if you follow Him. Number two, because He will clear the way for you. And I love this one. He will clear the way for you. Look at verse 1 again. And the Lord God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it. And then it says this, and hath cast out many nations before thee. And so it says here that He will cast out the nations. God's going to cast out the opposition. Cast out means to clear the way, to clear out completely. Like when we play a game at home, I like the table to be cleared off. Meaning I don't like stuff on the table. I don't like food from supper still stuck to the table. I like it cleaned off. You know, how many of you look at the kitchen table, if it has junk on it, it just like, you like that? Okay, I'm like that. I want the table. And, you know, my wife's like, well, why don't you feel like that about your clothes that are on the floor? Hey. So I like it to be cleared off, like cleaned off. Let's clean it off. Whenever we go camping, it's the same concept. Like you put the tent down. You want to try to find a place that doesn't have big sticks and huge rocks. And you don't just place the tent over that. You clear it off. Try to make a clearing there. And then you'll set your tent up. Picnic. What are you going to look for when you go on a picnic? Well, you'll try to find a good spot, a place with shade, a place with a nice view, you know, maybe a soft area because you're just going to put a blanket down and you're going to sit on it. So hopefully it's a soft area. One time we did that, and I don't remember when this happened, but I felt like the perfect area, put the blanket down, got everything set up, and it was right on a red fire ant mound, hill. And they're crawling up, and that's painful. So here's what God says. I'm going to clear off the path for you. I'm going to take care of the red fire ants in your path. If you follow me, then I'm just going to clear the way for you. That's a blessing to know that God's going to do that. And we need God to do that. My children get upset at each other. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you this story. They did this today. I won't tell you who it is, but it was... anyway, they were up here singing, and I don't know. I might tell who did it, but they were fighting each other about fruit snacks. Like one of them had fruit snacks, and the other one ate the other one's fruit snacks. And he thought it was funny that he did that. And then they're like, "Dad, he ate my fruit snacks." And I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do about this? You know, like okay, you know, I've never done that. You know. Like, when my kids aren't looking, I'll eat off of their food plate. You know, so I'm not a good example with this, I think. But he's crying about it. And I said, listen, God knows he ate those fruit snacks. God's going to get him. And I walked away. I felt pretty good about that. That's good parenting right there. That's true, though. In a sense, it's true. Listen, God knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows the stuff in the way. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to clear the way. But here's the problem we have is God's not fast enough. God, you need to speed up the process a little bit. I mean, I have, I listen, I this is where I know you're leading us and this is where I want to go. And I wrote it down. I love the snail on the turtle thing. Hurry up, let's slow down. It's too slow for us. We want God to speed up the process. We get hasty. And then we start taking over, don't we? It's hard to follow God. Why? Sometimes because He's going too slow. I actually had it in my notes. This is funny. The tortoise in the hare. I love the snail and the turtle, though. That was really good. The tortoise and the hare. I mean, some of y'all are the hare when it comes to the things of God. You want God to hurry up and get to the finish line with some of this. And God's like a turtle. And it's frustrating. And you are so slow. Why are we going so slow with this? Brother Chad this morning talked about contemporary philosophy and ministry. It was a good Sunday school lesson. VABC 101, a six-week series, for those of you who didn't know, started this morning. It was really good. And he said about this contemporary philosophy as it relates to ministry, why don't we engage in that as a philosophy in our church to reach people through contemporary means? It's because we don't need to. We aren't called to. God didn't command us to. And we don't need to. Why? Because God's going to do it. You know why we would engage in contemporary ministry when God isn't leading us to do that? Because God is taking too long. Well, we don't need to get in a hurry. God's going to do it. He's going to clear the way. So we have to be patient to let God do what He promised He was going to do. So number one, God will keep you from sinking if you follow Him. Number one, because He'll direct you to the victory. He will direct you. And number two, because He will clear the way for you, you just got to let Him do it. Got to let Him do it. Number three, and this is last. Well, this is a fast sermon. This one's going to take a while, so don't get too excited. Number three, and here's also why God won't let you sink, because you're not strong enough without God. Right. You're not strong enough without Him. Look at verse 1 again. It starts with the Hittites there. It says, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And then look what God said. Seven nations, greater and mightier than thou. Man, there's seven nations here. Seven nations of people that Israel is going to overcome in conflict. Listen, the Hivites, I noted a few things about these people. These people were descendants from Heth, the second son of Canaan, occupied the mountainous region around or about Hebron in the south of Palestine. The Girgashites, these are a people of a large family of the Hivites. So they're kind of a branch of the Hivite family. And they lay in the east of the Lake Gennesaret. The Amorites, these are descendants of the fourth son of Canaan and occupied an extensive settlement west of the Dead Sea in the mountains. The Canaanites, this people sprung from the oldest branch of the family of Canaan and were located in Phoenicia, particularly about Tyre and Sidon. So there's spackle all over the region of Palestine. The Perizzites, these are the people who were villagers, a tribe that were dispersed throughout the country and lived in unwalled towns. The Hivites that dwelt in Ebal and Gerizim and extended towards Hermon. And then the Jebusites, these resided about Jerusalem in the central area of Palestine, adjacent to the country. And here's the point that God made about these countries that have been in the land for centuries and for generations, that all of these nations had been rooted in the land longer, they were more numerous, they had been entrenched, meaning they were men of conflict and war. It's like going against David, or the David going against Goliath. Over and over and over. One is far exceeding in ability and strength and might than the other. And that's what Israel is going into battle with here. And truly, without God, they could not have won any of these conflicts. And God says, you're going to win them all. When I was in junior high, there was a couple of guys who were best friends. And I moved from junior high in with mom and attended Christian school as I was entering into high school. And these two young men, I remember we were in elementary school together and we were in junior high together. And I remember them. One of them was a star athlete on the football. This guy was just, a big guy, a really big. But he wasn't just tall, but he was big. So, clear ability there and potential for the future as it related to football in particular. And so it was him and then his friend, which was a real small guy. And it was kind of a funny best friend combo, a big, huge guy and a real small, skinny, slender guy. And they were best friends all the way up into high school. And one year in their high school years, they decided to go on a fishing adventure together. And they got their little, you know, boat and they got out on the lake. And as they're out there, just fishing away in the middle of this lake, the tempest arose and the boat started to sink. And neither one of them had life jackets. And they're in the middle of this lake and the boat was sinking under them. And I'm sure frantic and trying to figure out what we're going to do. The boat sank, and now what we have to do is swim. And the bigger one, obviously strong enough, wanted to save his friend. But his friend wasn't strong enough with the tempest and the position they were in the lake. So the older, the bigger, stronger one, he was able to swim to safety and tried to save his friend, but was drowning himself. And to save himself, he swam to safety, and his friend drowned. Why? Because he wasn't strong enough. You see? He sank. And that's us. If you don't have God, you are not strong enough. You will sink. And you will drown. Spiritually, we need the Lord to work in us and through us to accomplish the things that He has for us in life. And we need to understand that in the way that God wants us to go, we cannot rest in our own heart to be strong enough to overcome the temptations that we face. Boys, look up here. If you think, and by the way, this applies to all of us, if you think you're strong enough to avoid the sin that comes along as a result of allowing lust to conceive in your heart by looking at images on your phone or device or allowing yourself to engage in the wrong kinds of thoughts and think that you can handle those things because you're strong enough, or going on a date whenever it's just you and them, and we're not going to do anything, and we're not going to take it too far. That's because you think that you're strong enough, and God is saying you're not strong enough. If you put yourself in an enticing position, then lust will begin to take over in you. And lust, listen, here's what James, I think it's James who says, when lust is conceived in us, it brings forth sin. And when sin has ran its full course in your life, it will bring you to destruction. And it happens because we think we're strong enough. We need God to guide us. We need God to direct us. We need to follow God and follow His directions and let Him lead us to the victory. We need to let Him clear the way by being patient. Patient with the process. Patient with God to set the path and put us on the right way and to let God guide us. Not only guide us, but to let God put the pieces into place. And let's not try to jam it in there, you know. Let's let God put the pieces in His timing. And we need that because we're not strong enough without Him. We'll sink. Tonight, you need to make a decision that you're going to follow God. You need to make a decision tonight that you're going to follow God. Can I say it like this? I think some of us tonight were lined up behind God, but we let go of the rope. And we're just sinking. We need to get lined back up under the authority of God, grab a hold of Him, and let Him direct our path. It's like, are you doing what God wants you to do? Yeah. Is it going as quick as you want? No. Is God going to be faithful to His promise? Yes. Can you just be patient and let Him do it? I want to. We need to make a decision tonight. Because if you don't, you get out from underneath the direction of God, then what you'll find is that you're too weak. You're not strong enough to handle the tempest. And you'll sink. And the world will lead you, and your own flesh will lead you to decisions that you'll regret, many times instantaneously. Let me give you three statements, three questions, and then let God touch you tonight and let's do some business with God. Number one, first statement, you need God to direct you. You need Him to direct you. Statement number two, you need God to clear the way for you, meaning you need to be patient. You need to be patient. You need to be patient. God's going to do it. And then the last statement is this, you're not strong enough to do it your way and to keep from sinking. So don't tell yourself that. I'm strong enough. I can handle it. You're not. Questions. Have you been too distracted to pause and let God direct your way? Because we have to pause, right? We have to stop when we're in the process of needing to make decisions. And we stop, calm our minds, direct our attention to God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And He'll direct you. Acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways. He'll direct thy path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Question number two, have you been impatient to let God clear the way? Oh man, have I been impatient? Have I been impatient? Tonight's the night to decide I'm going to put myself back under you, God. I'm going to be the snail on the tortoise. And we're going to just plow away. And by the way, when God starts doing it, it's like a snowball, isn't it? Because sometimes it isn't. God, it seems like it's taken a long time. But then when it happens, God's rolling this thing. And it's snowball of victory. But we just need to let God do it. Let Him clear the way. And then last question, have you decided to tackle decisions without the life jacket? Have you decided to try to navigate through this through the power of your own strength, meaning without a life jacket? And we know the end of that. We put ourselves back under the Lord. Follow Him, hold on to the rope, and Lord, you take as long as you need to take, because if you do it, it's going to be right. If I do it, I'm just going to sink. Only God can keep you from sinking. Let's stand together. Father, tonight, there might be some who needed this encouragement. I don't know perhaps which. Maybe directing. They've not stopped and paused long enough to let you direct them. They're just plowing through like a bulldozer. Maybe it's some of us want your will, want your way. We trust you. It's just taking longer than we want. So maybe it's impatience. Lord, would you help us to acknowledge that? Put ourselves back behind you and hold on to your rope. And then, Lord, help us not to have to be lifted in our pride so that we think we can handle gaining victory without you doing it. Lord, help us to understand that not following you means we're stuck in the middle of the tempest without a life jacket, destined to sink. Lord, wherever it is that you needed to work in hearts, I pray you've done it. Now help us to respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Altar is open, Miss Melissa.